Into us today. So ACCWA, would you get hungry? Would you draw it out of the man of God and welcome Pastor Joel Cave?
Hello, hello. Well, it's good to see your beautiful faces. It was exactly as of yesterday, we worked out on photos, 5 years since we've been in Perth. Four? 2019? I don't know. It's hard to know. 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 20. Oh, 5 years. There we go. Oh, no, maybe. It depends on how you calculate it, right? But year to year, it probably is four, Joe. You're probably right. Isn't it? There's been a few things happened between 2019 and now. Bit of a global pandemic. You isolated yourself. At one point, I was reading these articles saying you wanted to become your own country. Well, you rebellious people over here. But I see common sense has reigned and you're still Australian, it's good to see. But honestly, it is a great blessing and honour to be over here. And I know they've got so many friends in the room here. If I say one person's name, we're in big problems. So I'm just going to say, for all my friends that are here, I love what you're doing over here. I love the unity here in Western Australia. I love what God's doing in churches here. You know, I know that, you know, geographically you're the most isolated in the world, but I don't think you're isolated in what God's doing in any way, shape or form. God's doing great there in Western Australia. People talk about the churches of Western Australia on the east coast of Australia and in lots of parts of the world. And I'm so blessed to be here amongst so many friends. Pastor Joel and Sharon, we are blessed. We love you. Can I tell a quick little story? When I first met Pastor Joel back in 2018, many years ago, we were on a pastor's tour of America together. We hadn't started our church yet. We were like 2 weeks away from starting Glow Church. And we were in New York City. There'd been a few fun things that happened leading up to that where we almost missed our flight and the driver didn't wake up that morning and we had to scramble and people did miss. And this is a lot of fun. But we ended up in New York in Central Park, and my wife Ellen was with us as well, and she was 4 months pregnant with our youngest child, who's 10 years old now. And Joel was with us, we were hanging out, and we just thought, we've got to do the right thing. We're in New York City, we need to go through Central Park on one of those horse carriages. Yeah, it's romantic. But Joel was with us. But being good pastors, we thought, you know what? And so we got this photo here, unfortunately. I should have brought it. I showed it a few weeks ago when we had a marriage seminar in our church. I was in the middle, Ellen was on my right, and Joel was on my left, with a blanket over us as we went around all of Central Park in the winter of New York. Such a romantic photo. That bonded us. People look at us going, this is a very unique couple, or whatever you are there. But Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for God, what you're doing here in Western Australia. Well, we're ready for new things, Father. We're ready for God, for you to breathe afresh, Father. Thank you, Lord, with the state conference coming up, that God, you're about to pour out new wine and a new sense of your spirit, Father. We thank God you're on the move, Father. We thank you, Lord, that for churches that are here this morning, that God, Lord, you're going to bring souls into their buildings, Father, this week, Father. Our hearts are ready to say, God, what can we do to see more happen, Father? God, I pray for an increase in your presence. I thank you for faithfulness. Thank you for every leader in this room. Anyone who's going through a tough time right now, Lord, and you know what they're going through, God, refresh them. For every person here that, Lord, maybe right now is going through some resource challenges, or they're wondering how they're going to, Father, we're reminded today that you are in charge of it all. Your church, Jesus, is not ours. We are merely stewards of your presence and your church. And you said you would build it, Father. We partner with that. So, God, today, as we come around your word, stir our hearts, challenge our hearts, encourage us. Amen. 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 Why don't you grab a seat and let's get into it. Thank you. Let's give the worship team a huge hand. Whatever, you've given up your day, whatever you're doing. So thanks for being here. Appreciate it. And so thankful to see you all here. Just a bit of a background. I am married. My wife, Ellen, she sends her love. She's as we speak. And we have three churches now in the UK. And so she's over there ministering. And then she's sticking off for a 10-day cruise of Europe with my auntie. So God bless her. And I'm here in Perth, and my kids are home by themselves. And that's a true story. I have an 18-year-old daughter. Her name's Taylor. She's about to go to Bible college in America next year, which is great. I have a 16-year-old daughter, Summer. And I pray that she goes to Bible because she needs it. And then the 10-year-old is a little boy. And that is a wonderful, honorful blessings to us. And, you know, these days, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, as you pass and grow up, your kids grow up and, you know, I think it's the most important thing we need to be speaking to our church is that we've got healthy marriages and we've got kids that love Jesus. It doesn't really matter. I can come and talk to you and tell you all the great things that God's doing in our church, but if my family's a mess, then we've got a problem. So So I want to encourage you that let's be reminded in our Sunday services, the more you can be realizing what God's doing in your family, or that your kids love Jesus, or that, you know, this, I think it's really important that it's the most important value that we lead from that place. And I've been married for 23 years, and I got married at 20 years of age, and can't believe that no one said to me at 20, probably, mate, maybe you wait a few more years. I would have appreciated that, had a bit more fun in life. But anyway, I've been solo for 23 years, loving my wife, caring for our family, and building God's church. I love that. I'm a church builder at heart, and I'm sure in this room that there's church builders. Anyone here love building God's? It's a good reminder. It's not our church. We are merely stewards of His house, merely stewards of His presence. And so today, I want to bring a word to you that I pray will stir your heart. It will challenge your heart. For those of you that are here that are dreaming about maybe starting campuses or planning, I'm looking forward to being part of that panel afterwards. And I encourage you to stick around, because we've learned a lot over the last 10 years. You know, it's interesting, a statistic that if you don't plant a church in the first 5 years of planting a church, statistically speaking, you'll never plant one. It's a really interesting statistic. And so it stirred my heart when I heard that statistic. We're in year 5 of our church. We started planting, and these days we've got 3 churches in Sydney and Melbourne and in England and Seoul, Korea, and Houston, Texas is about to start as well. So I've got some insight, a little bit of insight anyway, good and bad plan that could help you a little bit. But today I want to speak on a topic that is going to minister to you as pastors, as leaders, as ministers of His God. And here it will stir your faith as well. But my point is here today, that we'd lay aside any ego, all thoughts we have about what you do at your church, and just come back to the simple fact that we're sons and daughters of Jesus. We're sons and daughters of the King of Kings, and today He wants to do some heart surgery on us here. He wants to get us ready for all that's ahead. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We've been through a lot in the last few years. I never realized that I was going to have to be a medical expert 4 years ago. I didn't sign up for that. Ewan's a medical expert, not me. I just wanted to go to church, lead the church, but now I had to be all things to all people when it came to vaccinations and injections and, you know, flus and colds. And I mean, I didn't know it was part of the calling. I didn't realize it was part of it. I don't know what else is coming in the years to come, but what I do know is that some stuff gets in there. And I pray that maybe today that God will just help us really reset some of our thinking and reset some of our direction when it comes to what God's got for the future of the church here in Western Australia. Is it okay if I'm quite vulnerable with you today? Like, I can come and impress you, but I really feel like we'll connect better by vulnerable and just being honest with you. And I've had, for many years, a love-hate relationship with my electric scales at my house. I don't know about you, but I have these electronic scales that sit in the corner of our bathroom, and I look at them at times and I think, I don't want to see you. I want to hide you. It's more of a bulking season. I've probably been a bit more less impressive with my choices around the gym and my choices around the food that I'm eating. At times I've taken those scales and hid them in the closet. And Ellen will say, have you seen those scales anywhere? And I'll be like, I'm not sure. Oh, there they are. And I'll put them back in there. Because I was like, I don't want to stand on those scales right now, because I'm waiting for the Daniel fast season. Because when the Daniel fast is happening, I'm on the scale 4 times a day. Look at that. I'm looking good today. You know, the demands of life, the choices we make, whether I go to the gym, whether I sleep in, whether I eat food that is good for me, or whether I juice, or whether I'm fasting, or all those different things. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I've always struggled a little bit with those scales, because it can affect, that number can affect so much about my internal world. And it came to a head back in 2018. When at the time my girls were 13 and 11 and Judah was only little, and we were getting ready to have a holiday in Europe, and on the way over to Europe, where my wife's family's from, we stopped off at Singapore and went to Sentosa Water Park. It was actually the day, true story, it was actually the day that Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un were having that peace pact and that conversation in Sentosa. Why is there so much military here today as we arrive for the water park? I was like, is this normal? Sure enough, they were having their conversations around talking about it. And I had a rude experience that day at Sentosa. I was looking forward to it. It was hot, humid. If you've been to Singapore, you know that the high is 32 and the low is 30. There's about a 2-degree variation between them. So it was a hot day. I had my girls with me and my wife, and Judah, we went to the water park, and we lined up for the first ride. And I was excited. You know, we got Wet and Wild on the Gold Coast, and so we're used to water parks. But something happened that day that I'd never seen anywhere in the world. And as we got closer to the end of the line to get onto this slide that seemingly seemed very innocent, there was a big sign up that said, be prepared to be weighed if you are over 100 kilos. I think, we're at a water park. I'm vulnerable with my shirt off, my swimmers on, and I haven't weighed myself for a while because I'm in the middle of bulking season. I don't know if I could accurately, hand on heart, know if I'm going to be able to over the ride or under the ride based on today's status. You know, this is day one of holidays. I've got 4 weeks ahead of me. We're going to Italy. I'm going to be eating pasta and pizza. I don't want to know the number. I'll wait till Daniel fasts in January. Thank you very much. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer. And I'm thinking, I'll be okay. My girl's like, Dad, there's a scale. I'm like, no, we'll be fine. And if I could just be honest, there was a lot of very slight little Asian people that were just waved through. Yeah, thank you. Keep going. You're 42. You're good. 35 kilos. The 21-year-old band is 15 kilos. You're good. Go on. And I'm there thinking, I don't know if I'm going to get signaled out here. Because I was standing out in that moment. I felt vulnerable. I felt like I was at risk of being pulled into the way lane. I didn't want to look at them. I just looked forward, getting closer. And then I get the man walks over. He goes, excuse me, sir. Would you just mind coming up? I said to my girls, if you don't mind just waiting there, you don't need to see what's going on here. You don't need to go report to your mum the number. So wandered over, and I had a quick whisper in the guys. I said, listen here. I said, look, I don't want to know my weight. I'm on holidays. I said, just do me a favor and just give me the yes or the no. That's all I need to know. He's like, okay. So I stand on the scales. I'm looking ahead, thinking, I can't believe I've come for this fun day out in the water park, and I'm standing here in my swimmers, feeling guilty and ashamed. And next thing, he calls over his friend. He goes, oh, it's close. Quick, come here. I've now got two attendants looking at the scale, at which point my daughters decide to also come over, and they're both going, oh, Dad, it's close. I'm looking up. I don't look. I hear him. He's like, 99.2. I said, I don't want to know the number. It was horrible. But it caused something to change in me that day. I can report to you, I'm still as light as that these days. 5 years later, and I've kept it. I don't want to go. I want to go back to Sentosa Water Park. And I want them to go stand on the scale and say, look, I show you, that's the number. Look at that. I've proven you wrong. But I was 0.8 kilos only allowed to go on the ride. It's funny in life, we as humans, we're so caught up in worldly ways of measuring things, weighing things, comparing things. You can run this race this speed. I can run this race this speed. I'll get a medal based on the difference between my speed and your speed. I've got this many followers. You've got this many followers. You weigh this much. I weigh that much. We're all different, right? But we live in a world that loves to measure and compare things. You earn this much money. You do this so much things with your time. You have this many bedrooms at your house. I mean, they're all scales. They're all mass. They're all weights. And I want to tell you this, that those things are the world we're living in, and you can't escape them. But did you know as well that just like humans, God also is into weighing things. He just doesn't weigh the same things that we weigh. God is into comparing how we're going to others, but in a very different way to how humans would compare how we would do that. And I think as men of the gospel and as leaders in his house, it is very easy for us to swing way more towards what people think and what they want to measure and what they want to see as success. And I want to remind you today, I've come all the way from the East Coast to say to you, there are some things that God is really interested in that actually people don't seem to care about. And by the time that we leave here today, maybe a refresher in what God wants to measure in us and what God wants to weigh in us could be a great reminder as we go in the weekend this week and our next month and as we lead people, that if I care more about what God weighs than what humanity weighs, whatever God upon your church and upon the ministry you're leading could actually be the propeller that needs to take you forward into this next season. So I'll today on the topic of what God weighs. What God weighs. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7 says this. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. And clearly at Sentosa, they did not weigh what God weighs. And that could be great news for some of you in the room today. But for some of you, that could be really challenging. Because we've been living in a world that has pulled us more and more into the YouTube spiral, the Instagram followers, the Facebook thinking, comparing this and comparing that. I've been on Instagram for years. Not wondering what's going on. At times I thought, are they still over there in Perth? I don't know what's happening. Hope they're going well. Better jump back on and get someone to sign back in. Oh, look, they're good. Joel's going well. Everyone's doing well. But there can be some really unhealthy things that build up in us if we're not careful. And coming back to what God says matters most. And so we're going to dive in. I'm going to give you a few things today, and this is really just scratching the surface. As a reminder, and for some of you, maybe as a revelation today, what God weighs is the most important. The first one is this, that God weighs our heart. He weighs our heart. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says this, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. In this particular reference that we're reading about, it's actually referring to the motive of the heart. We can see the fruit of someone's behavior in the long term, and we can see the decision-making of what someone does. But the reality is that only God can truly see your heart. Have you ever felt at times like misrepresented by people? You're like, if you only really knew what my motive was. As a leader, when you were trying to make tough decisions in the last few years, if only you understood the pressure I'm under, but my motive is pure. And if we're not careful with our motives and our agendas and our true missional focus, it doesn't take long to go 1 degree off to be 50 degrees off next year. Because if God is in the business of weighing our hearts, and I imagine that this picture of like a little scale, the Bible talks about he has a scale, scales, and where would you be right now? Is your motives the same motives for why you got into doing what you did? I pray it was because you love people. I pray it's because you want to see the lost one. I pray that your motive was so pure in the sense that I'm called, that it's not about how much money I can, how many followers I have. I pray that your true weight when it comes to God was that I want to make a difference in the people's lives that you've put in my care. And all it takes sometimes is that little 1 degree of experience to be like, oh, that person hurt me, or that leader betrayed me, or that person did that thing, and our heart goes a little bit off, and I put my walls up a bit, and I go, oh, that last time, like, I put that effort in the results, and I don't know if I could be bothered. I don't know if I want to put myself back in that vulnerable state. I know during COVID, I tell you what, there was a lot that went down. Sadly speaking, can I be honest? There's a lot of pastors that aren't sitting in rooms like this that once were sitting in rooms like this. They haven't made it. They got caught up in some podcast that took them way off track, or down a rabbit hole on YouTube that distracted their thinking, or they were so discouraged that they forgot to build, or their faith level is the point where they couldn't see the light through it all. And I'm not just those people, but if you're in the room, it tells me you've still got the call of God somewhere functioning in your life. Well done. You've made it. You're here. But I tell you, it's taken out a lot of good leaders. It breaks my heart how many friends that I have lost in ministry. This season, I want to tell you, it is revealing calling like no other season. It was once cool to be a pastor. It was once cool to work at a church. Not anymore. I don't know if you know that. Now here we are. I'm excited about the future of the church. Because maybe the motive is pure. Because we've all been tested. We've been tried. And yet we still keep turning up and going. We've been punched a few times. So here we are. Something in me is this conviction that says we're here to build.